welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Howdy, everybody. Whoa, I'm excited today because we have so much to talk about. Two of my favorite, you know, things in the world. Video games and porn.
I'm all for the porn.
And appropriately, you have Jerry on the show.
Exactly.
Wow.
No. We're talking about indie games today and cosplay. Indie games, of course, are games that are independently developed by not the big boys. And I love them because it's so open. It's just like we're right now, I don't know. Okay, will we agree that we're in a video game low?
Right now. For sure.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
All right, let me back it up. I'm sorry. Let me introduce everybody. Today with us we have Jada.
Hey, how's it going?
Who apparently can't hear right now.
Nope, cannot. I'm deaf. No. I'm deaf, you know. It's okay. It's my new superpower. It's kind of opposite of Daredevil.
Ah,
deaf girl.
You know,
that will never help you in a crime, then, I swear to
Don't
you.
Don't scream for my help, because
exactly.
I will not come.
That was the main reason. I was like, how are you going to hear?
We need a flashlight. Have to have a giant bat signal. There we go. Hey!
Exactly.
And,
go.
You know, through the magic of technology, I can hear hearing
Perfect.
Aids.
I had to plug it in all the way.
Wow.
Whoa.
Speaking
of porn.
Speaking of plugging in all the way.
Consent next time, please.
We have Jerry over here with what looks like a voyeur cam strapped to your
I know.
iPhone.
If this guy isn't the creepiest guy we know, he comes with a giant...
It's my new gadget I have.
5-foot lens, telescopic lens on his iPhone.
And
so
I could just
really
see that poking through holes of women's bathrooms so many times.
I was going to wear a skirt today, and I remember Jerry was going to be on the show.
Not
today with Jerry.
No, I don't want to see that. No.
And here always, because it's just his house.
It's my house.
Corey Vincent, everybody.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me be a part of the show.
Yeah, he had nowhere else to go
Might
today.
As well.
Yeah.
I wanted Regis, but he canceled on me.
Well, I couldn't miss an episode where we have such a special guest.
Special guest today.
I'll let you announce that one.
Yeah. Let's go over the whatevers. NerdReactor.com, everybody, is where you can check us out. We're there every week. Twice a week, actually.
Twice a week.
You're going to love us.
Twice the nerd a week.
Where we're giving you all the nerd stuff we can possibly fit into one smorgasbord.
Yep.
Also, we did a couple of reviews. Jada did the review on
Dark Souls 2. Awesome game. Pick it up.
Go out there and die. In one word.
Amazeballs.
Wow. There you go. There you have it, everybody. If you missed our recap of Sacramento's Comic-Con, go ahead and check that out. Some awesome stuff that came out of that one. And one big awesome thing that came out of that one. The man himself, Ryan Fry, will be joining us today for an in-depth interview about his life.
I can't wait.
Can't wait. You have something to say, Corey?
Nope.
All right. So going back to what I was saying before, indie games are very, very special to me. I think we all agreed, like we said previously, that we're in some type of lull with video games. So it's up to these indie developers to make the push forward. Now, I think we were just talking earlier where Jada said the graphics weren't the greatest, right?
No.
And that's a
games,
reason, right?
Yeah, but to me, graphics are never the most important thing, you know?
Exactly. I always put the argument to that type of questioning. Like, if you had a game and you pushed it up 80% graphics and 20% gameplay, would you think you had fun?
Nope.
Exactly. But if you did the opposite, then would you think you had fun?
That's what we grew up on.
Exactly.
That's where gaming came from, you know?
The number one rule for video games that I think people forget all the time is it's supposed to be fun. It's not a data spreadsheet.
Look at Minecraft.
Game's very ugly. Simplistic game. Wow, the game isn't ugly.
It's pretty ugly.
It's ugly.
Yeah. You could skin it up to be pretty good. But
I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Good Lord.
I'm shallow then.
Now Notch just hates you guys. That's what that is.
He knows.
It's pretty fuzzy.
He didn't get
game.
My money.
But what these independent developers can do that the big boys can't do, they're not shackled down to, you know, series like Call of Duty. Oh, we have to make another Call of Duty. Halo. We have to make another Halo. Assassin's Creed. Those are awesome games in their own rights. But once in a while, we want something new.
Yeah, because the mainstream market is oversaturated with first-person shooters and same thing copy and paste every year.
Now listen to that complete thought coming out of his head.
Right? We need something new.
Oversaturated.
And it wasn't. Well, he used some big words, and there wasn't one reference to
penis.
Exactly.
We're bringing full circle. Yep. So today on the show, before we get to Ryan Fry and his Friedom. We're going to be showing you some upcoming and already out indie games that you should be on the lookout for, people. Are we all excited?
Yay!
Wow, woo! You sound... do I have to do the smoke? Are we all excited?
Yay!
Yeah!
Player!
So bear with us, because some of these games are a little bit off the grid, a little bit weird, but they're built with love.
And yeah, we again. We've been so busy. I should mention too that the photos that we took from Wizard World are all edited and ready to be uploaded to the interwebs.
A huge gallery, right?
Yep, we'll have a giant gallery on Nerd Reactor. Yep. And I also want to say, because of all that, I haven't been able to keep my eye out for these indie games. And Aaron, we kind of viewed them before the show, and there's some nuggets of gold in there.
Oh, man. And it was very difficult. I say this because there's going to be some indie episodes later on in the future, because indie games are always popping out. It's very difficult to find the creme de la creme of these video games, because there's so many indie games out there. But these ones, I felt... the light should shine a little bit on there. The first game that we have, it needs your help, people.
Kickstarter.
So, you know, at the end of it all, when we explain and you go check it out and you're like, oh, this game is awesome, kick in a buck or two. voxels, as everybody knows, are very popular now in the space. I've seen them, of course, the biggest one, Minecraft. Those little blocks, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. We actually just recently, me and Jerry played a game on the Xbox Marketplace called I'm gonna slaughter this name, sorry.
Avatar Dairansen.
Gominosai.
For the
actually very
thank you.
Very good well
for the
well
developer.
Used.
But this game is called Planets Cubed.
I want to talk about the game you were just talking
about. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Let's let the people know. It's only $1.
Yeah, it is. Well, it might be $3. It was on sale when we bought it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
$3. I mean,
the $3.
You can, for $3,
that's, you can go get a couple of double cheeseburgers.
I'm sold.
The same
so
thing.
This game pretty much takes everything you like about animes. The big energy blast, the sword fighting, the over-the-top
destruction of the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they throw it into an arena battle with your avatar as the main character. And it's just like, it's awesome. It uses voxels, of course. You can create the levels if you want. You can share levels. You can play against bots.
Four players mm-hmm. against each other. And some of the things I saw were so awesome. Like, you could fly. DBZ style. You're in the air punching each other.
Yep.
One person falls to the ground and makes a giant crater. And then he shoots an energy blast and makes the crater even bigger. Dragon Ball Z classico.
And it's done very well. The controls are, like, pretty good. You know, actually, they're not even bad.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're
pretty good. I hope they're not bad.
Because we started playing the game for a long while. It was me, Jerry, and Dominique. And we didn't even learn how to lock on to characters.
No,
we were just playing it like a freestyle. Yeah, and it was like crazy good. You get so many different situations that you would see in an anime happen inside the game. And it's just like, this is the dopest thing.
You were saying that the environments can actually collapse on the player?
Yeah. You can, like, okay, so here's a situation. You can throw what they call a Destructo Disc, if you don't know that from Dragon Ball Z. It's Krillin's most epic move that he has. So it's a flat disc that cuts through pretty much everything. So you can cut through a mountain, and then if you're under there fighting, if you happen to hit the mountain, it'll start collapsing on you. And then you get killed. Yeah. Like, all that environment falls on you, and you're dead.
That's cool.
And that's happened so many times. You'll be battling, and then somebody will just blast, the environment above you, and it falls down on you, and you're dead. Like, that's innovation that we haven't seen in the game since, I don't know.
Since Minecraft.
I don't know. Even the Dragon Ball Z games don't even get that in depth.
No, they don't.
But to be fair, we haven't played the latest one.
I heard it was kind of bad.
Really?
The Battle for Z, decent. Yeah. It was a A for effort.
I was really excited about that one, too. I remember posting it on Facebook and everything like that because it was the 3-on-3 battles. And
4-on-4.
Or 4-on-4.
4-on-4 or 8-man free-for-all.
Craziness. Yeah.
And like I played the early demo build back in August last year, and I liked what I played. It was solid. The lock-on was a little weak, but you know, I think that probably got addressed. But my biggest complaint I heard was not enough characters and not enough like real customization. And I mean, that's what you want in a Dragon Ball game. You want to be able to pick your favorite character and deck them out how you want. That's what made the original Budokai so amazing back in the day.
I don't understand why these developers can't get stuff right, but this one guy from Japan. He can't. You know what? I didn't even learn the guy's name because all his websites are in Japanese. Yeah. I had no idea.
The company is Alonesoft.
Alonesoft. Yeah, check them out. If you're really interested, you can just keep copying and pasting the stuff like I did in the Google Translate to try to figure out
There's
what.
There's not
was
like
what.
Just a mass translate button at the top of your browser that translates the entire.
There was
page.
One for his personal blog. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But for the website, and he's done multiple games. I haven't tried the rest, but you know. He's good. He's got a gem in those indie games, definitely. And I think people should go out there and support it.
I think as soon as we finish this, I'm going to go get that one.
This game gives me a reason to get some more Avatar
close
swag.
He actually, yeah, because a lot of the Avatars, you know.
Let me be in my King's jersey.
Wow.
Masignala.
See, that's what I was. I was in like a suit.
Special big cannon.
But now I have Deathstroke outfit on. Yeah, cool.
You went and bought Deathstroke's outfit for
no,
that game?
No, I unlocked it from Batman game.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, since I got this, I might as well just wear that when I'm fighting everybody.
I feel like I need to go play the Batman game and get that outfit
there
now.
I'm telling you. Where were we at? Oh, Planet Squared. Voxels. That's what we were talking
Cube.
About.
Coming out big
Planet
here.
Cubed. Excuse me.
Yep.
This game is another type of open... I don't know how you would put it, like, because you
world,
create
sandbox,
anything.
Sandbox.
What do you call it? No, not that's the game mechanics where you can move around in the environment. So I'm talking about where you really get to open up and create weapons, clothing, vehicles. Like, it's just as if you're developing the game as you play yourself. It's crazy right now. The trailer, you should go check it out. But a little description here, it says, imagined by video game lovers, Planet Cubed, pronounced Planet Cubed, combines excitement of role-playing with the pleasure of construction and boundless freedom to roam about the 3D universe. Its intricate plot and outstanding voxel-based design offers opportunities for intense action and unlimited creativity. Planet Cubed has been designed to promote multiplayer gameplay to share the fun with the friends, everybody.
So, it was just a beginning trailer since this one is still searching for funds to be made. Towards the end, they alluded to that there was going to be multiple planets.
Yeah, and we've seen that coming from someplace before, haven't we?
Yeah, the No Man's Sky.
I think we're going to have a race to the finish to see who can put it out, right?
Space race.
Wow.
So,
That's we'll give them that.
Sonic.
And we're going to build rocket ships and explore other planets and universe.
That's kind of what it made it look like. And you can go, like, the styles are fully customizable. Like, the armor, like, if you want to look like a samurai, you build a samurai.
I want the samurai.
I know you want the samurai.
If you
want
to look like a space person, you build. It's all up to your imagination. And we have very imaginative people in the gaming community, so I know it's gonna be crazy.
To the shape of the swords, to crafting a full-blown motorcycle.
And if you looked at the trailer a little bit closer, when he was messing with the shape of the sword and stuff, it affects the stats of your sword.
No way, really?
Yeah. They actually have a trailer on the Kickstarter where it focuses on the customization of your weapon. And you can see that it actually affects the stats of your weapon.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. And have we reached out to these guys?
Not yet, but definitely we will.
I want to get these guys on the show.
Yeah, and grill them about this game that seems to... I mean, it's already won.
Why does this game seem so perfect?
Take my money.
Take it.
Like, and the ambition of it, I think you can only get from indie games.
No, yeah, that's the, it's kind of what Jerry was alluding to earlier with the big name franchises, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed, all those games that come out on a yearly.
I believe I was alluding to that. Don't give Jerry.
Jerry was alluding a little bit to it.
I got all this credit.
I think it's Jerry.
Both of you guys were alluding to it. But basically, I think that the big names are too scared to take that chance, to take that risk. They like to play it safe. It's like, oh, if we just do this, we'll make this much money like we did last year, with hopes of making more or. But
if the same formula works, it should work for more years.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the money. I understand. I mean, I'm not, going to 100% dog them. I understand they want it's a business.
It's a business.
End of the
day. For sure.
But come on, people.
But I'm,
come on.
me, like you, Aaron, we're always looking for the new, what's the new hotness,
constantly.
You know? I don't like to follow the same trend that everybody's following.
The meta? Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I have been trying to break the meta in League. I have been trying to break the meta in League, trying some new
stuff. So you're trying to be
out.
A hipster?
Yeah.
You're
either in the meta or you're a hipster.
I've always been a hipster, but I follow the meta so I can win.
One of the games that's already out, actually, got greenlit on Steam and everything like that. Another indie game called Corporate Lifestyle Simulator.
I don't know if I'm on board for this one.
Well, if you work in a cubicle out there, if you're listening to us in a cubicle right now, this is the closest thing you're going to get to an actual simulator of you working in a cubicle.
I don't think so. this is coming from the guy who's never... Have you ever had been a cubicle?
A cubicle job?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a cubicle. I've sat at a desk before. My first job was at a desk.
Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't cubicle. Like a cubicle, really. It was a desk. I had a desk.
Okay. Pretty hectic. I have worked in cubicles, and yeah, that was pretty accurate.
Yes, yeah, I mean, zombies running around,
samurai
massive
swords,
blood, yeah. Blood just shotguns. Dripping everywhere. Yeah.
So the description of this one says an isometric orgy of blood and violence and huge chiptunes. I have no idea what. Yeah, a lot. And Shao Kahn runs around as well. They're probably going to have some legal troubles with that later. But battle your way through 27 levels of corporate architecture full of brain-dead corporate buzzword-spewing project managers using office furniture as your primary weapon.
Synergy.
Exactly.
Synergy.
I didn't get to see, like, I mean, the graphics are pretty, you know, like, just small pixelated and everything like that, but I didn't really get what office furniture you were using to attack people with.
I didn't either. It was a weird game.
It was very strange. So you wouldn't pick that one up?
No, I don't think I'd pick it up.
I mean, it's only $5 on Steam, everybody. Out right now. Came out on February 25th.
I'll wait till it goes on sale.
Off of $5?
Yes.
You'd believe, yeah, Steam sales? That game's going to be $1.25.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Maybe they go on sale.
And it can't be that much space because it was really basic.
It'll probably be a couple hundred megs.
Like I should City. Say, too, that this game really brings a new term to the word boss fight.
Crickets.
We rehearsed this earlier, and you guys were all supposed to laugh.
That's the
it.
Sad part.
Where's your audience laugh?
I know, right? You need one of those, definitely, and a hand clap.
Thank you, Shao Kahn.
All right.
His only friend.
That one didn't push the ambition too much, but I thought it was something people, you know, might be interested in.
It's entertaining.
Levels.
It's comedic.
I see it on like a Newgrounds type of deal.
Yeah, I could have swore agree. It should be a flash game.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, that's exactly what that should have been.
No
$5. I mean, you're awesome game for, you know, the developers, guys, but come on. Next game we got up, very, very ambitious. Think Battlefield, but in 1782.
Wow. Ooh. Pitchforks.
That's not the ambitious part. Actually, the ambitious part would have to be the goal is to have 300 players at a time.
300, that's a huge number.
Why? And it's a ship. It's on the open seas, right?
Black Wake, Dead Marquis. So it's a think, you know, the times of Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Sounds like it's going to be a pretty shippy game.
You are just punning everything up today, aren't you?
That is very punny.
Wow. We're not doing that.
No.
I'll tell you that.
No.
We're not doing that. No.
I appreciate it, Jerry.
In the multiplayer naval warfare game with team-focused elements, it features destructible ships, first-person combat, ship sailing, of course, ship boarding, why else, objective-based game modes,
of course,
and potentially up to 100-plus players. Their goal is 300 per match. Wow. Now, why don't we just play lag.com?
Is it going to be like, with that many people on a ship, is it going to be like everybody's going to have to man a cannon? Or like my one job is going to be this game where I just hoist a sail or something like
yeah.
that?
That's what it seems, 'cause it seems like there's too many roles, or not enough roles for 300 people.
Sounds a lot like jungling.
Wow.
Well, I mean, what they could do potentially is there's been other games where they've done more players than, and you don't see every player.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, you're each doing an individually thing. I can't remember the game for the life of me right now, but.
Talking about the one on the PS3?
Where
they had a crazy amount of people, that first person shooter?
Probably. I couldn't tell you.
Was it Mag?
Mag, yeah.
No, it wasn't Mag.
Not Mag, you're not
talking about? You know what? Yes, it was Mag. Okay. It took you in.
Because you never really saw everybody.
You didn't see everybody because basically it took, you know, or you'd be all in the same map, but it would break you off into different zones and stuff like that. So you'd be playing. So you'd only, you know, at any time it was 16 on 16 or whatever the game
was. I mean, it was possible to see everybody else, but You couldn't
split off. You were in one zone, so it'd break the war into like three zones. So you're on the same map, but there's three different maps for each.
Couldn't move to this different zone and see somebody.
But the maps were huge. The maps were, I mean, they were traditional Battlefield Call of Duty.
But what's the purpose
maps?
If I can't go and see squad Q over there?
Because the thing is the other squads still affect your gameplay as well. So that was kind of the big thing for Mag.
Are you able to stand at the edge of where
and snipe
border? Yeah, and snipe.
No, I never tried, and the servers are down. So
this game, the Black Wake. I saw on the trailer. It showed like two boats connecting to each other, and of course, they just had like a massive amount of people boarding the other, you know, ships, trying to, I guess, kill the whole crew. But you're using all old weapons, so you're using like old gunpowder, and you're shooting cannons off the side of the ship. And
every shot, you have to duck for 3 minutes to reload your gun.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a whole initial gun blast, and then everybody stops loading.
Blunderbuss.
Yeah. It says, we hope to achieve a variety of different and fun gameplay experience with a number of brainstormed ideas, including, and not limited to, team-oriented sailing. So, yeah, where you said, just pulling.
Yeah.
Hoisting the sail.
I get to hoist the sail.
Intense melee and combat. Possible land and sea simulated battles, which would be kind of weird. Of course, they said goal up to 300 players per match. Objective-based game modes, dedicated/private servers. Some potential game modes include cat and mouse, which whatever that would be. Merchant Inception. Nobody?
Interception.
Mm-hmm. Interception.
Oh,
Interception.
So maybe there's like a merchant ship and you guys got to both try and get the goods.
Something. Yeah,
the cat and mouse would probably be like there's, you know, one person's being chased by everybody else in the game, basically. Your objective is to live as long as possible.
The chase scenes take 3 hours each.
That would be terrible. Half your crew dies of like some disease on the way.
We forgot to grab oranges.
Scurvy.
Everybody's got scurvy.
That's terrible. Cabin fever is just run through everybody. Six squads of 10 fighting each other on schooners. Those are little small boats that they send out.
That's what they call them?
Yeah, schooners. terrible. We are very open to ideas. If you have any, please let us know. So they're actually looking for more ideas to throw into this massive game already.
Ninjas.
Yeah.
Kraken.
Icebergs.
That's
terrible. I want to see the Kraken.
That might be, yeah, some environmental enemies.
I
want to
see some environmental, yeah. I mean, it's set way back in the day, so anything goes.
A taunt where you can go up to the front of the ship and hug someone Titanic style.
Wow. That'll be in the DLC. Now, mind you, this game
King of the World DLC.
Need some Celine Dion.
You need two people. You have to wait for somebody else to assume the position, and then you can go up and hit your taunt, and it'll initiate it.
This game is only being developed by two people.
Yeah.
No.
And yeah. Said Black Wake, Dead Marquee is an indie game being made by two developers.
So the graphics were pretty decent on this one, weren't they?
They were okay.
Yeah, they were all right. Okay. I mean, two people, you might as well be. Next one we got on here, Crawl, people. Crawl is a competitive multiplayer dungeon crawler. I mean, the game is called Crawl, where your friends control monsters.
That looks cool.
Now,
I cannot wait.
Cool.
I have been clamoring for some counter co-op for a long time since Perfect Dark. And this looks like it's going to satiate that appetite.
The difference between this one to me and Kill All Bosses, or what was that one called?
Kill All Bosses.
The one we were just talking about in The Office.
The Office one? You mean the
Corporate Lifestyle Simulator?
There you go.
Corporate
something
Lifestyle
like that.
Simulator.
The game that we already forgot about.
Something like that.
This Crawl is like still pretty low-grade graphics, but the animation's... It's one of those stylized things where
it tricks you into thinking
it's like 8-bit, and then you get some smooth, slick, slashing animation.
And they like blood splatter and stuff like that as well. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty good.
But I think that's all up to the developers that do that type of stuff.
This game could also take my money. Is it on Kickstarter?
Let me continue. Let me see.
I think it's on Steam Community already.
Yeah, I think it got greenlit, actually.
Oh.
Same screen, arcade action, 2 to 4 players. One player controls a hero. The other possesses monsters and traps to kill them. Destroy the hero, and it's your turn to crawl as you're instantly taken. Take their place. Race to gain experience and loot. Challenge the dungeon bosses. Cooperatively controlled by the other players, which is pretty cool. I mean,
so up to 4 people are controlling the bad guy, or three people controlling the bad guy. You are playing the hero, and if they kill you, they take your spot in the game.
Gives them a purpose.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, why would you have it other way besides just killing that person?
I killed him again. Yeah, I'm going to kill him again.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. I want to see how it's done, though. It's like, when I kill that person, do I start where their progression?
Yep. That's what it sounds like. You just jump right into that spot and pick up. And then the goal is you want to be the person that gets to the end. Whoever gets to the end gets all the perks and the benefits.
Turbocharged, dungeon crawling, leveling up, increase your stats.
There's a store.
Amass powerful weapons, magic items, all in the course of a 30-minute game.
Oh, yeah. Take my money.
Did you hear that?
The only thing that worries me about this game, I was reading on the page, it's scheduled for release first half of 2014. Uh-huh. So we're pretty close to that. But it's only local multiplayer right now.
They said
they're exploring online multiplayer, so it's still...
No, don't explore it.
But
do it.
They said they're not promising just anything yet.
Oh, you're... You sons of mothers.
So, but...
Evolve
you know,
your
we
monster.
We all have to share the same computer.
No.
But
you can LAN it.
The cool thing is it does support controller use, and this is kind of, I think, kind of that push towards the Steam box in the living room. You have that Steam box in the living room. You run, you know, USB 4 controllers just like you would an Xbox in your house. And you all play on the same screen. Simple as that. You still got your big screen TV. You're not sharing a keyboard.
I don't know, it's that
couch co-op. And you know you love couch co-op.
I love couch co-op games for party games. But this is more of an... Well, I don't know, because now I read that it said it's 30 minutes. I don't know.
This is what I want to sit in my underwear and play. Like, I don't want to have people over.
And I definitely don't want to be over here with him in his underwear.
Are you sure, Jerry?
No.
It says
not even me.
Every battle is unique. Explore then inhabit. What is that? Explore and inhabit randomly generated dungeons. Loads of unique weapons, spells, artifacts, dozens of unique monsters to unlock and master.
And you can play against bots, so you don't have to have other people. So there's going to be bots.
It's always playing against real people. You don't want to play against bots all
the
time.
But I'm saying, you know, if you don't have anybody to play with, you can play with bots.
Was I the only one who was a kid when I was playing video games? I'd like to pretend that the bots were real humans. Like, I'd have that thought. Like, I wonder if all, like, the computer people are, like, other kids playing.
Well, seeing that I had friends when I was a kid, no.
Didn't have any friends, but didn't have that thought.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You guys never had that thought?
Friends
it's like that
and
thought,
not being sad.
Have you guys ever had that like thought that maybe your life could be a reality show that
never.
You just don't know about? Or like aliens
I think
are
maybe
watching you?
Once when I watched The Truman Show.
When
that
was
about
dreaming?
It.
I can't be the only person. If you've had these thoughts, Corey, please tweet us. Hashtag Corey is not crazy.
Yeah.
Corey, sounds put on like your tinfoil helmet, whatever.
I don't even believe... I believe aliens exist, but... You never had that thought that everything you're doing is being recorded?
Somebody needs a psychiatrist.
Oh, God. Yeah. We're like in some giant ant farm?
Wow. No.
Well,
never.
God.
Last plug real quick for the indie game.
Someone's
we won't get
us.
Too in-depth to it. Hyper Light Drifter. Looks like a kind of Zelda-esque game. Actually, it's going to be on the PS4 and PS Vita.
Woo!
Can't wait.
Of all these games... Okay, we'll get into that.
What?
I just think... We'll get into it.
All right.
And we got a big guest coming in after the break.
Yes, we definitely. Stick around with the Weekend Bang. We have Ryan Gosling. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. Not
he
Ryan.
Canceled.
Yeah.
He canceled.
Oh, God. Crap. I guess Ryan Fry then.
Ryan Fry.
We got Ryan Fry.
Ryan
cosplay
Fry player.
Big
Ryan Fry Hemsworth.
He is, wow.
He looks just like Ryan Hemsworth. We met him at the con.
Met him at SatCon. He was awesome. He did a whole bunch of stuff for us. Gross. And he actually agreed to come on the show and... Talk a little bit about his life and what he's doing.
And some cosplay like tips and tricks for those of you who are big cosplays. And talk about
a new forum.
Social,
a
new social media sensation taking the world by storm in the cosplay community called cosnation.com.
If you guys are interested in any of all that, it would behoove you to stick around and listen to the second half of the Weekend Video Game Bang with Sir Aaron Carter and his friends.
Aaron and friends.
Wow, that's so bad. So bad. Thank you for sticking around, everybody, to the Weekend Bang. We are cruising right along. And with us today, on a very special episode. Ladies love him. Men want to be him.
That's true. That's actually very true.
Mr. Ryan Fry, everybody.
Hey, welcome. Guys, how's it going?
What's happening, man?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm actually very, very excited for you to be on the show. We actually met first on the Comic-Con scene, or WizardCon.
Yeah, WizardCon.
Yeah, in Sacramento. We just recently went down. I don't know if we were that memorable, but we were the ones that had you actually get arrested by Vegas.
Oh, that was you guys?
That was us. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this guy is such class. He went right along with it. Like it was perfect.
Yeah, I got to edit through the pictures, and my first con memory was waiting in the line for the media passes with the other media people, and I see Ryan. He looked very familiar from the book, and you know, he's obviously in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody stopped him and said, "Will you take some pictures with my kids?" And despite whatever was going on, like, he stopped and spent like at least 10 to 15 minutes with these kids, let them play with all of his props, was class. Like a stand-up dude, and that's like what set me in the mood. I was like, yeah, this is what Comic-Con's about.
Yeah, yeah, definite class.
Classy.
Let's find out a little bit about Ryan. Ryan, how'd you get your start?
Well, as far as cosplay goes, I got my start because I was looking for a Thor costume at I think it was like a Spirit Halloween store or something like that, like one of those big chain costume stores. And it just so happened that somebody that was working there was into cosplay. And we got to talking, and he's like, "No, you don't need a store-bought costume. I'm going to hook you up with some friends. You know, they make costumes for a hobby. In fact, we also go around and we raise money for kids in need. And I'm sure they would love to have you a part of the group." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Sounds like fun." So it all just snowballed from there. And I have been addicted to cosplaying ever since. That was about two and a half years ago, something like that.
Wow. The whole world of cosplay is very intricate and everything like that. Was it difficult to get into that, building your own costumes and stuff, like that transition?
Yeah, actually, I'm by no means an expert. I am lucky enough to have a lot of friends around me that are more than willing to share their knowledge of making costumes. In fact, my Thor costume, which is probably, at least right now, my most popular costume that I wear, that was, I would say 98% of that was actually made by a friend of mine.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, he 3D printed a lot of the components on it, including the gauntlets. The entire gauntlets are 3D printed. I mean, just amazing workmanship that went into that costume. But yeah, I'm constantly learning, and I think that's what's so cool about this community is, so far from my experience, everybody's willing to share what they know. And if all it takes is for you to ask, if you ask, everybody's willing to help. And I love that.
And there's a really, the community is really nice. Like, I don't think we ran into any one bad cosplayer when we
Not
were there.
Not one bad seed in the bunch.
Yeah.
Not
one.
You were about to ask him, Corey?
Yeah, I was going to ask. So you got into the cosplay scene, you said about 2.5 years ago. When did you, because obviously for 2.5 years, there's a lot of people been doing it for a lot longer, but haven't been able to hit the con scene like you have. How did that come about? How did you take it to the next level?
Well, I've always loved performing in one way or another, whether it was through theater or also I've been on tour with a couple bands, you know, with playing and singing and that sort of thing. So I've always loved performing. And what I decided to do was start a parody YouTube channel based off of Thor and this Thor costume that I had. And I had no idea how popular several of the videos would be. And Wizard World ended up getting wind of that. And they decided to bring me out. And it's just gone on from there. They keep having me out over and over again. And of course, I'm not going to say no because it's tons of fun.
Yeah.
How many have you hit up so far?
And I wanted to clarify too, this video was the Everyday Thor, right?
Yeah, that's my YouTube channel.
If you go to youtube.com, Everyday Thor, and it's ridiculous. If you guys hear his voice, the guy looks just like Chris Hemsworth when he has that facial hair thing going on. And
might as well just be the stunt double.
He might as well. He's, you know, maybe like a couple feet short because Chris Hemsworth is a monster.
Oh, yeah. I saw the side-by-side pics you guys did at the SACCon.
How was that?
Crazy.
Was that the first time you met Hemsworth?
Yeah, that was the very first time I met him. He's very, very cool.
Only in Sacramento.
We didn't get to talk a whole lot because he was extremely busy, as you can imagine. And I know everybody asks this, that so I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. No, we didn't talk about how that we look like brothers. that actually never came up. We talked a little bit about the costume and, you know, how I made it and things like that. And going around a different convention, that was about it. And then he had to get back to work. So, but it was really, really cool to meet him. And yes, he is huge.
Yeah.
In costume, I am about 6'2". I wear lifts cause I'm only 5'11" flat foot. So I wear lifts to try to get those couple extra inches, you know, but
so we're all looking for his man.
You can imagine from the picture how tall he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's monster of a man.
So Ryan, yeah, I had a question. So when you first began cosplaying, you didn't want to come up with an alias like the Eric the Smoke Moran or Ivy Doom Kitty like they did?
You know, in hindsight, had I known that people would like what I'm doing, I probably would have come up with an alias, because I do get a few people following me that I wish they didn't know my real name. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's kind of too late now. Everything's out there. And
can you maybe give us an example of a horror story that you've been through?
What was that?
Can you give us an example of a situation that it wouldn't have been nice for them to know your name, like some crazy fans?
Yeah. It's always a little concerning when the same person shows up and you're not really sure if they are a fan or crazy.
Oh, man. Are we talking guy or girl here?
A girl.
Okay.
That's not bad. Come on now.
That might be a good problem.
You know how much Jerry would give for that?
but not crazy. Nobody wants crazy. That's you know what idea. I mean? It's like, do I need to wear protection? Like, do I need a weapon to defend myself?
Restraining what's going on? Well, you got Thor's hammer all the time with you.
You got Thor's hammer, or I saw you have with your Assassin's Creed cosplay, which is also actually very top-notch. You had a lot of weapons and stuff to
hidden
defend
blades,
yourself.
Yeah.
Hidden blades.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite costumes.
That was actually one of my questions here. It was one of your favorite cosplays. Cause I mean, I've seen the Thor, I've seen the Assassin's Creed. What other ones do you venture out into? Or are you even planning to venture out into?
So I'm working on a steampunk Lion-O. I've completed the gauntlet for that. And I'll be wearing a wig and lion contacts and everything. So I can't wait to put that one out there. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm also working on a male version of Elsa from Frozen.
Really?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to actually be
this week.
That's going to be good.
Because that's going to be really cool. And then I'm hoping to eventually do Aquaman from the 90s. When, you know, he had the long flowing blonde hair and the hook hand and all that.
Oh, okay. Wow. Classic.
AKA the cool Aquaman.
Exactly. You didn't like
if there's such a thing.
You didn't like the hard water Aquaman when his hand was hard water?
No.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's just you.
I would just give you a suggestion. If you do the hard hand water, you can just paint one of your hands blue. And, you know.
That's why Aaron's not a cosplayer.
Exactly. But you know what's cool about the cosplayers? Apparently now they have this new community, the Cos Nation. You actually told us about this when we met you there at the con. Why don't you tell us a little bit more, and for the people that don't know.
Yeah, so it's basically a buddy of mine, he started this social media site, and he asked me to help him promote it. And it's basically the alternative to Facebook. And it's geared towards everything geek culture. So that includes not only cosplay, but if you're into anything sci-fi, anything fantasy, of course, that would include comic books, et cetera, et cetera. It's geared towards all of that. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Facebook is getting pretty cluttered with all kinds of ads, things you don't really care about. Not only that, but if you notice, you might have a couple hundred friends on your feed, but you're only seeing the same 20 over. That's because of Facebook's algorithms that they've got set. But on Cost Nation, there's no such thing. So you're going to see all of your friends' posts. Of course, you can customize it on Cost Nation if you only want to see like the same 20 people. That's fine. You can set that up, but we're not going to make that standard on the site. That way you can see everybody. That's why you're friends with them, right? I mean, that's why I accept people's friend requests on Facebook, because I want to see what they're up to and what's going on in life. But Facebook, for whatever reason, their little bots think that I don't need to know all this stuff, so they don't show it to me.
I was looking on Cause Nation. We created a video game bang profile and just to do a little bit of research. And I noticed that not only do you just see all your friends, you see the whole community's posts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another feature on there that I think is really cool. You don't necessarily have to be friends with someone to see something that they've posted. And vice versa, if you don't want everybody to see it, you can also set it so that only your friends see your post, which is really cool. That way you can keep things private between you and your friends.
They keep a lot of, like, as soon as I logged on, I just saw start seeing cosplay all over the place. Like, everybody was just posting their stuff. I mean, it's... They want to be seen, you know, and there's some pretty good ones out there. And I mean, I got like friend requests from random people that I didn't even know. It's a very inviting, you know, environment. Well, how's the community responded to you, Ryan, since you've been on there?
It's been really good. I think so far what I love most about the website is that it has created a level playing field. In other words, nobody's really up on a pedestal. And I like that because we're all just a community sharing ideas, sharing what we love, and there's no ego involved. So I feel like I am just another person with the same passion as everybody else on the board. Because when you have a fan page and things like that, it's easy when people are like, oh, you're so awesome, you've got whatever on your fan page. It's easy for some people to get a big head about that. But what I love about Cost Nation is that that doesn't happen because everybody's level playing field, like I said. So
on the giant banner on Cost Nation, I noticed there's one for you and then also Yaya Han. Is she somehow associated with the project as well?
She's not. That's actually just something that is up there for the time being. We're hoping that she will join. And we've reached out to her, but we're still waiting to hear back.
Awesome.
Any other big time cosplayers that you could name drop that people could check out on causenation.com?
As of right now, not any that I know of. We've only been open for about a week now.
Oh, wow. This is fresh and new.
There's a lot of users on there for just a week.
Yeah, we actually opened it the Saturday of Sacramento Wizard World Comic Con.
Really?
So, yeah.
Ground floor, people. Know, so if you want to get in on that ground floor and check out all the cosplay.
So, Ryan, I remember you saying you don't use Twitter, and I want to know the reason why.
You know, I really don't have a good excuse. I just never have.
Too much social media going on?
I guess Facebook has worked for me in terms of posting pictures, and now that there's Cost Nation, I'm probably going to be gearing most of my stuff towards Facebook and Cost Nation, so... Maybe one day I'll have a Twitter. Who knows?
We sat in on a panel while we were at SatCon where it was cosplay and movies and our filmmaking, I believe it was. Oh my God. And we got to see you in a film, Smoke do his film. Do you think that's the next evolution for these cosplayers, or are we just going to see a lot more fan-made films with the outfits and everything?
I hope so. I really do, because there's a lot of talent out there, and it doesn't always get an opportunity to be seen, but cosplay seems to be an excellent outlet for that. And one thing I really love about the fan films is you can take a character that you love and you can tell the story with that character that you want told, that is probably, you know, or may not even be something that the Hollywood studios would want to do as far as, you know, taking the character in that direction. But with a fan film, you can do whatever you want with that character, as long as you're not trying to make money off of it, of course, because that would be illegal. But yeah, I think I think I'm seeing more and more of these fan films happen, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I mean, cosplay has become vastly popular. I mean, when it came to my attention, I was just stunned by all the different types out there. I think one of the most entertaining things for me is when I see, like you just said, you were going to do a female version or a male version of Frozen. I really like when they do those character swaps and stuff like that, and they
gender swaps.
Yeah, well, it was Ivy Doomkitty did Doom,
the Doctor Doom.
Oh my gosh, that type of stuff. I think it shows
female Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have female assassins, but, you know.
That one.
Any big names that you are a fan of, maybe? I mean, because I know you're big as well, but who's Ryan's Fries?
What's your inspiration?
Yeah, well, where are
what
you?
What inspires you?
Who are you looking at?
As far as other cosplayers?
Yeah, as far as other cosplayers.
Well, I tend to lean towards the cosplayers that, how can I put this? Don't really let the fact that they have a following affect them as a person. So the only way I know that is from the cosplayers I've actually met. And Ivy Doomkitty is definitely one of those people. She's got, 300,000 followers, something like that, on her Facebook page. But if you get to know her and talk to her, she's the sweetest lady you'll ever meet, and she does not have a big head about her, and I love that. Same thing with the Smoke. He's that way. I met Vegas PG cosplay at Sacramento last weekend, and she's exactly the same way. And I think that's pretty much Wizard World's MO when they invite cosplayers out. I think they do a lot of investigating, to be honest, because I think they follow cosplayers before they invite them out and give them a booth at their con to make sure that they're the kind of person that they want representing their con, you know? So to me, those are the people I look up to, the people who are not too big for the people that are following them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
even as a podcast here, when we reach out to people, like, we've gotten to speak with some pretty amazing people in the gaming industry who, like, you know, we're like in shock that we're talking to these people. And sometimes there's cosplayers out there that I reach out to say, hey, you know, you obviously, they just posted something controversial maybe, or we just want to get to know them, and will not reply our messages, like, as if we're nobodies.
Yeah, they'll big time us. It's all right.
Good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't definitely like anybody who I saw at Wizard World Comic Con, Ryan, every time I've sent you a message, I sent you a couple of the pictures that we took, always get a response back from these people. They're always like more than willing to do something. Ryan just jumped at the opportunity to do this interview. And those are real people out there, because we're a real podcast. We're not Chris Hardwick, you know.
Wow. Don't call the man out. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, come on. Chris Hardwick walks up to anybody, they're going to be, Nerdist.
I'm not going to call him out right now.
You know, he does a podcast immediately following ours called Talking Bang.
Talking Bang.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Chris, you're awesome.
But, Ryan, continue. I want to hear more about Comic-Con and some of the people you've gotten to meet.
Okay. Well, this isn't a cosplayer, but it's really a really cool story, at least to me. I actually got to meet Stan Lee at Wizard World Austin, but it wasn't like I was on the con floor or anything like that. The way I met him was I was half dressed in my Thor costume. I was getting ready to go down to the convention center from the hotel, because it was right across the street. And I'm in the elevator, you know, I've got my suitcase full of costume pieces, and in walks Stan Lee and his handler. And his handler is standing between me and Stan Lee in the elevator, and I'm trying my hardest not to be that guy that like freaks out, oh my god, it's Stan Lee, you know. And so I just stood there, I was real quiet, and his handler eventually goes, hey Stan. He leans over to him, because Stan's like maybe 5'4" or something like that, real small guy, and he leans over to him and he goes, hey, we've got the God of Thunder over here. And he points over to me on the other side of the elevator. And Stan leans around his handler and goes, oh, hey, nice to see ya. You know?
Did he give you an Elsa?
I'm freaking out inside, trying to stay cool. And I shook his hand. And then the elevator opens and he walks out. And I'm just walking behind him, like, in a daze. I just met Stan Lee in an elevator on my way to the Comic-Con. It was such an experience. It was really cool. But that's actually one of my favorite things about going to Comic-Cons is bumping into all of these people who I've always admired and looked up to. And it's surprising how many of them are just so down to earth and willing to talk to you and share whatever conversation you want to have with them at that point. So, but yeah, that's my most memorable meeting with Stan Lee.
So Sacramento is our hometown. And how did you enjoy the very first Wizard World Comic Con in Sacramento?
Man, I thought that was a huge success. I think they're going to end up, if I'm not mistaken, renting out the entire convention center for next year. I'm pretty sure they're going to be back from what I heard, you know, through the grapevine. But it was, the people were great. There seems to be an energy that every city has. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people are there and they're just kind of observing, kind of quiet. And then it seems like other cities, they're right in the thick of it. They're excited to be there. And those are the best conventions, you know, where people are just really enthused. And that was definitely Sacramento.
Yeah.
Everybody seemed so excited and so happy to be there. And that always makes the con a whole lot more fun. So I had a blast.
I think we were more energetic because it was our first time having a con here.
Yeah, Sacramento. We don't get anything that huge here, you know, all the time. So we definitely try to show love whenever we can. And I mean, you guys at the con, they always show love back. It was a very enjoyable 3 days, definitely. Anybody got any extra questions for Mr. Fry?
So, what is your who's your favorite superhero? I don't know. Do you have any plans to cosplay as that superhero?
And before you answer that, Mr. Fry, there's only one right answer.
Is there now?
Yeah. Go ahead though.
Well, when I was a kid, Wolverine was my favorite. He still has a special place in my heart. But I don't know that I really have a favorite now. I've been reading a lot more independent comics recently, like Saga. Okay. I don't know if you guys heard of Saga?
I have not.
No, you got to check it out. Oh, it's so good. It's a little off the wall.
Okay.
But that's what I like about it. But yeah, I don't know. I can't really say I have a favorite right now. Is that horrible of me?
No. The correct answer is Batman, but
I never got into Batman.
Wow.
Oh.
Sorry.
You just made an enemy.
No better time than the present.
All right, and this podcast is over.
Wow.
Ryan, I have a question that jumped in my head. He can't come on Video Game Bang and not talk about video games for at least a second.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you own a console? Have you chosen a side in the console war? Are you a PC gamer? What's going on in your video game life?
I have an Xbox 360 as well as a Wii.
Nice.
I have been playing Skyrim nonstop for over a year now. Still discovering new places, which I love that game.
Yeah, that's
I
so think amazing.
I want to live in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Epic. of course, I've been playing Assassin's Creed. For Black Flag, I just can't get enough of that game either. But I haven't beat it yet, so I don't really. I mean, I know how it ends from all the spoilers online and things like that. But I'm just having too much fun being a pirate, going around. Have you guys played that game yet?
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
Played it.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it because you can control a freaking pirate ship and have little sea battles with all these ships and stuff.
And the pirate shanties, I find myself singing them all the time.
Wow.
So you love Skyrim. Is there any Dovahkiin cosplay coming up for you?
Ooh, that would be epic.
make that helmet.
Yeah, I would love to do something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Okay. And if you were to do it, if you can just have free reign of any of the armors from Skyrim, which one would you most likely cosplay as?
It would probably be the glass armor.
Oh, yep, lost you a little.
Lost him a little bit.
You there? Hello?
You guys there?
Yeah, you're back. So go ahead, continue.
I was saying either the glass armors or maybe one of the ebony armors. I really, really like those.
The glass armor would be slick in real life.
That'd be a challenge right there. Yeah, I'd say you want to get the best heads.
And dangerous,
yes.
Daedric.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be real glass because it'd only take one of his crazy girl fans to crack it over.
I know, and then he's bleeding all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's awesome, Ryan. Tell before we wrap it up here, why don't you let everybody around the web know where we can see you, where we can reach you. Well, not home address because you have crazy people, but, you know, let them know where you're at.
Yeah, you can find me, of course, on CostNation.com. And Facebook, you can find me at Ryan Fry Thor. Just hit like and you'll get all my news updates and yeah, hit me up, send me a message. I always reply. It might take me a little while sometimes, but I always do reply. So.
And what is the next convention we could see you at?
Possibly. Well, I'm going to be at MegaCon here in Orlando next weekend, and then I will probably be in St. Louis in April.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of most ages. Thank you once again, Mr. Ryan Fry, for being on the Weekend Video Game Bang.
Hey, guys. Thank you, really. I really appreciate you having me on the show. It's quite an honor.
That was Ryan Fry, everybody, of Thor and Assassin's Creed fandom. And like he just said, he's about to be Lion-O, steampunk Lion-O.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
The dude is, he just confirmed everything today that I think we already knew last weekend.
Yeah. You know what I want to see, actually? Because I was just thinking, I'm like, Ryan, it's class. I want to see some class act cosplay, kid and play. Nobody does that at cons.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Next time, me and Aaron, we can cosplay as kid and play.
I don't know if anybody can
do the dance.
We can do that dance.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I don't think you can pull off the hair.
I could pull off the hair.
I don't think you can pull off the hair.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody but kid in this whole world can pull off the hair.
The big flat top.
Yeah, exactly. The eraser head.
That's what? I wanted to be play.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Done. Done. And I understand that cosplayers are all indie and everything like that, and they experiment with different.
You like when men be women, and we could switch it up. Like we could do a Pulp Fiction cosplay.
It wasn't, I like that when men be women. It was like using it.
Yeah. Aaron, you said you love when men.
Shoehorn me into that thing. No.
You said you love when men are women.
I said I like the imagination where they take a character.
Ah, sure.
How dare you? You might want to rewind that one.
No, but we can just make that our thing. Like we'll do a Pulp Fiction. I'll be Jules, and you could be Vincent
Vega.
We'll
have so many questions. Like, who are you? Is the big one.
Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll say, what?
And then I'll be like, I guess he's Jules.
Say what again?
I don't know any lines from Vega.
What?
He gets shot. before the show, before we interviewed Ryan Fry, we actually did some more indie games, everybody. I know we were all excited. I know you were excited about it. But we missed one, maybe two, maybe three. We talking about it real quick. Hyper Light Drifter is one that's going to be out on the Vita and the PS4, which I'm upset about because, I mean, Xbox, come on, guys. Step up your game.
I don't know. I typically, yes, but in this case, for this game, of all the ones that got a port to a major console, I wish it could have been the other ones.
All the other ones? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, any
I'm
of the other ones.
I'm perfectly happy.
Hyper Light says combat with lightning, quick, brutal, and never unfair. A strong narrative and character.
It's a weird thing to add in. The game is never unfair.
Strong character narrative.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Life is unfair.
I was throwing him out there. Wow. Strong narrative and character interactions expressed through visual design. A rich, varied world to explore with intense atmosphere. Creating intelligent and tactical scenarios with enemies is key. Rather than stacking cannon fodder with weights gleefully in line to get their heads chopped off. Some enemies dodge projectiles, others deflect attacks. Some, the poison wolves, attack you with vulnerable enemies as a pack. I said that decently. We have enemies that command weaker types in order to gain the advantage. That is what's interesting to me, too. You got command people that are actually going to be pushing other little ones around?
You know, I read an interesting article kind of about AI in games or whatnot, and it was talking about how people always complain about how dumb AI is in games.
What are you doing? Chanting over there?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Corey's Satanic summoning, exactly. Summoning zombies or something. Anyways, but yeah, they're talking about how players hate dumb AI, but you know, games have tried to put smart AI, and then you know, most of the time, players are just like, "Oh, this is stupid. This game's cheating." And they talked about like one of the games they used it where basically, you know, players would face with this impossible situation. They basically would back up into this little single corridor to where the only route the enemies could was come straight down and just be cannon fodder. So
I mean,
it's a hard line.
I'm always up for harder AI.
And I love it.
I don't mean like difficult where it's like if they hit me, they take a bigger chunk of my stuff, but smarter. You know, they actually have tactics. First thing you said was like, this is dumb. This is unfair. That's probably why they put it's never unfair in the
never
game.
Unfair, right, guys. There.
It says each encounter should feel different and remain challenging. That's what I like in a game. And we don't do that enough in video games.
That's what I love about Dark Souls.
Is it like Binding of Isaac? Like everything is different every time you play through it.
Power-ups are completely random. Yeah, maps are random. Binding like it's Isaac.
Oh, yeah. You should check it out. It's another pretty good
PC?
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody.
I mean, we got the indie game.
You can't.
No.
I should say the N-word.
What?
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Bang, Sir Aaron Carter, and everybody else. Out.